Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, relationships, and even your career. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $5,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. So please, go to PastorRick.com right now to support Daily Hope. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Word of Humanity.
You know, your body is about 60% water. I don't know if you knew that. In fact, if you weigh 150 pounds, you're actually carrying about 12 pounds of water in your body. Some of us are carrying a little bit more than that. But you can't live without water. In fact, people don't realize how bad dehydration is for you. When you get dehydrated, you get headaches, you get muscle cramps, your brain just shuts down. Your brain has to have water to think. And in fact, most people don't realize this. The number one cause of fatigue, when you're fatigued, you need a drink of water. Dehydration is the number one cause of fatigue because you're not getting enough water and your body runs on water and you become lethargic and you can't think clearly and it shuts down. If you've ever had surgery, you know what I'm talking about when I tell you that the least fun part to me is after the surgery, you know, they put that tube down your throat while you're sleeping, and when you wake up from the anesthesia and your throat is sore and your mouth is parched and your lips are dry and they won't give you anything to drink. They give you a little glycerin swab. They go, are you kidding me? I want a big gulp, you know? Because when you're thirsty, you're thirsty. Now we come to the fifth word of Jesus on the cross. Now, the first four words were in the first 3 hours on the cross. He's now been on the cross for 6 hours. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, which actually isn't long because sometimes crucifixion would take days before somebody would die. It's a very foul form of torture. But Jesus gave up his body, gave up his life, and he's in the final moments and in the final seconds of his hanging on the cross, he makes three more statements. And this one we call, I call the word of humanity. It's simply, the fifth word is, I'm thirsty. And Jesus says this after hanging on the cross for 6 hours. Now, Jesus said a lot of things in life that only God could say, and we couldn't say them. But this is something you say all the time. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Everybody says that. I'm thirsty. And so this is what I call the word of humanity, because anybody could say this one. Not everybody could say, you know, you're going to be today with me in paradise. But anybody could say, I'm thirsty. And so this is actually the word of humanity. And actually in the Greek, in the original translation, it's only one word. It's dipsao. Dipsao means I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Simple word, but literally packed with significance. And we're going to unpack that today. John 19 tells us the context. John 19, verse 28 and 29. Jesus is hanging on the cross here. It says, after this, we'll come back to that in a minute. After what? After this, Jesus knew that everything had been completed. So that the scriptures would come true, he said, I am thirsty. Now, there was a jar full of vinegar there at the foot of the cross. So the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a branch of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. Now, here's an interesting thing about this. Here, Jesus says, at the end of 6 hours, he says, I'm thirsty. Earlier in the cross, the Roman soldiers had offered him something to drink and he turned it down. So what's going on here? Why is he doing it? Let me show you a verse on the screen. In Mark 15:23, it says this. This is after they immediately put him off the cross. The soldiers tried to give Jesus wine mixed with myrrh to drink, but he refused it. This is 6 hours earlier. He refused wine mixed with myrrh to drink. Now, why did Jesus refuse it? Well, because what was in the drink? And it was that spice called myrrh. Myrrh is a narcotic. Myrrh is a painkiller. And remember when Jesus was born and the wise men came and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Yeah, and each of those were predicting that he would be a king and he would be a priest and he would die, because myrrh was what you gave to people as they were dying in pain. There was no Advil, there was no narcotics, no Vicodin, no OxyContin or anything else. And so people would mix myrrh, a narcotic, with wine and give it to people who were in pain. Now, why in the world would the Roman executioners offer a drug to Jesus hanging on the cross? Well, it certainly wasn't out of humanitarian efforts. They weren't trying to ease his pain. Here was the real reason. Crucifixion was excruciating. And it often went hours and hours and hours and often days, and they had to stay there until the guy died. And often the criminal who was being hung on the cross would scream for hours. They didn't want to hear the screams. And so they offer Jesus, when they nail him to the cross, they offer him a drug so he won't scream. It's not for his benefit. It's for their benefit. They just don't want to hear Jesus screaming for hours in the agony of the cross. It was long and drawn out. Now, why did Jesus refuse it? Because Jesus wanted to feel the full impact of the pain of carrying the sins of mankind. He was not going to go into dying for the world drugged. He was going to go into it with his full faculties. He was going to feel every ounce of physical and emotional pain. So he refuses a drink that is drugged at the beginning. But now at the end, he's in his final moments. Now he says, I'm thirsty. It says now, notice on your outline, it says after this, circle the after this. After what? Well, after he'd finished paying for our sins. After the needs of all humanity had been met. After God's justice had been satisfied, after the scripture had been fulfilled. He's paid for the sins of mankind now, and he's been separated from God. Remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? We looked at that last week. You know, one of the Christian creeds of classic Christianity says he died, was buried in the ground, went to hell, and then rose again. Well, there's not really anything in scripture that talks about Jesus going to hell. He didn't need to go to hell. He went through hell on the cross. And he experienced all the judgment and all the separation from God on the cross, not needing to go to hell, because he experienced it there. Why have you forsaken me? And when he cries out, I thirst, that's the word of somebody who's gone through hell. You see, the Bible says that in heaven, there's a river. The Bible says there's a river in heaven, but there's no water in hell. There's no water in hell. And he's been going through hell for these many, many hours. And he now knows everything has been completed. And so he says, the word of humanity, I thirst.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Now, if you're giving a first-time gift to Daily Hope, today your gift will be matched up to $5,000 by a generous friend of the broadcast. So please, go to PastorRick.com right now to support Daily Hope. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Well, there's not really anything in Scripture that talks about Jesus going to hell. He didn't need to go to hell. He went through hell on the cross. And he experienced all the judgment and all the separation from God on the cross, not needing to go to hell, because he experienced it there. Why have you forsaken me? When he cries out, I thirst, that's the word of somebody who's gone through hell. You see, the Bible says that in heaven, there's a river. The Bible says there's a river in heaven, but there's no water in hell. There's no water in hell. And he's been going through hell for these many, many hours. And he now knows everything has been completed. And so he says, the word of humanity, I thirst. Now, what I want to do this weekend is quickly do three things. What does this mean about Jesus? What does this mean about the people around you? And what does it mean to you? What does it mean about Jesus saying, I thirst? What does it mean about the people around you who are thirsty spiritually? And what does it tell you about your own spiritual thirst and your hunger for fulfillment and unsatisfaction and cravings in your own life? Let's look at these three things. First, what do we learn from this statement when Jesus said, I thirst? What do we learn about Jesus? Well, the thirst of Jesus shows us three things. Write these down. You see, by the way, this is the only statement Jesus makes about his pain. Now think about this. Jesus was beaten. He was tortured. They made a crown of thorns and crushed it into his skull, and those thorns are going into his head. They spit on him. The Bible says they plucked his beard. The Bible says he was scourged, which means you get whipped 40 times with a cat of nine tails. That's 360 lacerations on your back before you even go to the cross. His back is a bloody pulp even before he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. He's been beaten. He's been, gone 12 hours without water. He's dehydrated. He's had a loss of blood. He hadn't been to sleep in 24 hours. And so why does he say, I thirst? Well, there's a couple reasons. There's a practical reason, and that is he wanted to have enough energy to say the final words, which are coming up in the next 2 weeks. He wanted to be able to shout out his last two words. But there's also a theological reason, and there's a prophetic reason, and there's a personal reason. Here are the three reasons. Number one, first thing happens when Jesus says, I thirst, is it showed Jesus was truly human. It showed that Jesus was truly human. Now, some people think, actually, that Jesus was not really human. He was just God with human skin on, but he wasn't really fully human. Some people think he was like half human and half God. No, he was not half human and half God. He was 100% human and 100% God at the same time. And so he fully experienced the pain. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus gave up his place with God, and he made himself nothing. He was born to be a man, and he became a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on the cross. Now this word, I thirst, counters a false belief. In ancient times, it was called docetism. And docetism was the idea that Jesus' body was just an illusion. That he wasn't really a man, and the docet comes from the Greek word, which means to seem. He appeared to be a human being, but he wasn't really a human being because God would never become a man. And that idea was called docetism. Well, this is obviously disproving because Jesus was a man with real thirst, real desires. Now, today, nobody even hears about docetism. But there's another belief that believes that Jesus, that God would never become a man. It's called Islam. Anybody heard of that one? Yeah. Islam teaches the same truth as docetism. In fact, let me read it to you from the Quran. Quote, Surah 4:120-57. Quote, this is from the Quran. They say, indeed, we have killed the Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it was another person who was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following assumption. And they did not kill him, that's for certain. That's what the Quran says. Okay. The Quran does not, Quran believes that Jesus existed. And they believe he was a prophet. But they do not believe that God would ever become a human being. And God would never die on a cross. So they say that when the cross happened, that they switched bodies. And somebody, a fake, took Jesus' place. That's what Islam believes. 2,000 years ago, it was called docetism. Today, it's one of the beliefs of Islam. But Jesus clearly was human being. He says, I thirst. If he wasn't fully man, he couldn't have died. If he wasn't fully man, he couldn't have gotten thirsty. You say, well, God can't die. Well, God can't die, but a human being can die. And it's just as, what I'm trying to teach you is this. It's just as wrong to deny Jesus' humanity as it is to deny Jesus' divinity. Does that make sense? Jesus was both fully God and he was fully man at the same time. All right, so it shows that Jesus was human. Second thing we learn from this phrase, I thirst, is it showed he was the promised Savior. It showed that he was the promised Savior. And verse 28, John 19 says, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. What's that all about? In the Old Testament, for thousands of years, God had been telling humanity, I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send the Anointed One. I'm going to send the Savior of the world. And in those thousands of years, and they're all in the Old Testament, there are over 380 predictions about what the Messiah would be and what he would do, where he'd be born, and all these different things. 380 predictions. And this was so people would know, this is the guy. Because there were lots of people who claimed to be the Son of God, but how did you know it really was him? Well, there were 380 prophecies, and you had to fulfill every one of them. For instance, you know that the Bible says he would be born in Bethlehem. It's kind of hard to pick your birthplace. Okay, he had no control over that. They said he would be taken to Egypt as a young baby, and he was. They said that he will be raised in Nazareth. They said the prophecy said he'll do miracles. He'll raise the dead. There were prophecies in the Old Testament that say he'll be betrayed by a friend. He'll be falsely accused, but he'll be innocent. And then there's prophecies that he'll be hung on a cross. Now, here's a problem. That prediction in the Bible was 1,000 years before the Romans invented crucifixion. Nobody had even heard of it. What's a cross? And so for hundreds of years, nobody would even know what that meant. But it was predicted he will die on a cross. They said the torturers will gamble for his clothes, which they did. They said his bones will not be broken, which they weren't. Why would he say that? Because often, to hasten a person's death on the cross, they would nail your hands against the cross, bend your knees a little bit, and nail your feet to the cross, because in this position, you can breathe in, but you can't breathe out. So you have to pull yourself up to stand up on your feet that are nailed across to breathe out. And you hold that position until you can't stand it anymore, and then you let yourself down again. And then you hold it till the pain in your lungs is unbearable, and you stand up again. And the death on the cross was up and down and up and down and often took hours. It was a vile form of torture. When the Romans wanted to end it quickly, they'd break the legs because you couldn't stand up anymore and you'd suffocate. But Jesus didn't have any bones broken because he died sooner than they expected him to die. The Bible says he will be buried in a rich man's tomb that's never been used, which is true. And he will come back to life 3 days later. That's the hard one. And he did. Now, at this point, Jesus is dying on the cross. There's still a couple of prophecies or predictions to be fulfilled. And one of them was, he'll say in his dying moments, I'm thirsty. And so that's just another sign. But there's an interesting little thing here that you may not know about that I need to explain to you. And we'll come to it in a minute on how they used the hyssop. Notice 1,000 years before Psalm 69, look at this on the screen. He says, when I was thirsty, they offered me vinegar. That would be one of the predictions. What in the world is a jar of vinegar doing at an execution site? Isn't that kind of a wild, out-of-the-way prediction? He'll be given vinegar to drink in his final moments. What is that jar of vinegar doing there? Well, let me explain it to you. They didn't understand that thousands of years earlier, but what Jesus was offered by the soldiers was commonly known as Pascha, P-O-S-C-A, Pascha. Pascha was the drink of poor people for 300 years in the Roman Empire. The Greeks drank it and the Romans drank it. And what Pascha was, is it was sour wine, wine that had gone spoiled, and they would mix it with herbs and water, and they would drink it. It was the common canteen drink of the Roman legion.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We pray God uses this teaching from Pastor Rick to help you discover more deeply the hope that a relationship with Jesus Christ provides in every area of your life. Right now, a generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $5,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe, and listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed, and many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for those of you who have consistently given throughout this past year. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your very first gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Your first gift will be double, up to $5,000 to go twice as far. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
If you've never given a gift to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope before, we would love for you to make your first donation today. And when you do this, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD Study Kit. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.